Cricket? When will cricket be back? Well, in England, they are looking to have a test match series behind closed doors between England and the West Indies. And Neil Manthorpe has been writing for a while, suggesting that it's desirable and feasible, possible, sanely so, to host the expected T20 series between South Africa and India in the next couple of months. But, Neil, good afternoon. Reading Business Day today, you were suggesting it seems unlikely, even though professional non-contact sport like cricket can resume training.
Yes, John. It's the quarantine period that's the problem. India are very keen to come. Sourav Ganguly, the president of the BCCI, and Graham Smith go back a long way, and they regard each other as good friends now. And Smith, being director of cricket, he called Sourav. Actually, he went over to Mumbai to meet with him and said, we're in the financial doldrums. would you mind coming over and playing three T20s, which is worth $10 million? What's that today's rate? 170 million rand. And Ganguly said, sure, three T20s, we only need a week. And he committed to it. But the problem is the 14-day quarantine period. So if the Indian team can quarantine, if you like, in India, and then remain in a biosecure environment, fly on a chartered plane, which cricket South Africa are prepared to do, land at Lanseria or Vaderkloof or somewhere, and be transported straight to a biosecure environment, which would probably be Senwes Park, then it could be done. And Dr. Shoaib Mundra, the head of the Cricket South Africa Medical Committee, reckons that, you know, it can be done. As you mentioned, the ECB, under the management of Steve Elworthy, events director, they're putting together a couple of biosecure environments. So medically, it can be done, and economically, South Africa desperately need it to be done.
Yeah, and biosecure environment. Who would have thought that that was a phrase we'd be banding about in the middle of the year when we started the idea? And, I mean, Steve Elworthy, as you quoted him this morning, understands that you can't make it 100% biosecure. The only way you can do that is not to have people intermingling. But you can go a long way to reduce the prospect of infection between player and player, player and management, player and broadcaster, broadcaster and ground staff. You can reduce that to something which approaches a completely negligible risk.
That's right. If I was to say this without qualifying it as a repeated quote from a whole series of doctors, then it would sound trite, as if I was trivializing things. But the medical professionals three who are directly involved in the establishment of sporting biosecure environments have all said that they are completely confident that they would be more safe than shopping at a supermarket. And I was at Pick and Pay this afternoon, and I can believe it. As I wrote, the players and match officials would be in the green zone in the middle of the biosecure environment, and there'd be a blue zone outside of that. And if somebody had to leave the biosecure environment, and remember, it's going to be established for a month, because the second and third test matches will both be played at the same ground, Old Trafford in Manchester, the first one at the Aegeus Bowl outside Southampton. They have hotels on site. But basically, so for the three test match series, the biosecure environment will be in place. If somebody has to leave it, then they would be escorted to wherever they needed to go for a scan or an X-ray or whatever, and made sure that would avoid contact. And I'm not a medical professional, but people who entry and exit from the biosecure bubble would be very, very strictly monitored.
One thing that bothers me about professional sport in South Africa is the need for professional sports people to be regularly tested. And given the shortage of tests in South Africa and the backlog of people who are symptomatic or seem to be corona symptomatic, You know, the idea of a test being given to a professional sports person so that professional sports person can earn money and the TV broadcaster can earn money. I mean, I do understand the economic imperatives of sport, and I do understand how far downstream those economic benefits disperse. But at the same time, it kind of sits in my craw.
Yeah, and that's a very, very good point. The ECB have set the example, and Cricket South Africa are working with the ECB at all times. And they would be privately purchased. I mean, you're absolutely right. And a number of players have expressed that to me as their greatest concern, more than their own safety or their health. They have expressed a great deal of concern, but as I said, there's a private market for testing kits. We know that was established in the very early days, wasn't it? I think it was £1,200. They're a lot more expensive than that in the UK. I mean, they're talking about 10 times that price, almost like £100 for a private test. As Dr. Jacques Fall, the chief executive of the CSA, said to me yesterday, they have to charter a plane, and that's going to cost 10 million rand. But as he said, you spend 10 million to earn 150 million. And if that includes the purchasing of 1,000 testing kits from the private market, then I guess economically it can be justified, but I'm with you. It is a moral dilemma.
And Neil, in your conversations with the players, the conversation around how one performs at close to one's best in a biosecure bubble without spectators, it's such an artificial environment. Are the players confident that they can give close to their best under those circumstances?
It varies, but generally, are they confident that they can perform at their best? I'd probably say no, I don't think so. I think, there's a lot of talk about playing crowd effects and using the PA system to try and create some kind of an atmosphere. But what I would say is that they may not be confident that they can give their best, but there's absolute uniformity from the players that I've spoken to that they want to give it a go.
And I mean, the Indians will be no better placed to perform at 99% of their potential than the South Africans. So whatever the elite squashing aspect of coronavirus is, it'll apply equally, one would imagine, to the West Indian team and the English team. So
it will be
in that sense, a level playing field.
Yeah, exactly. Same for both sides. I mean, there is a suggestion that the West Indies might actually be favoured because it's in umpiring research over the years, it's been established that there's a counterbalance to the being seen as being biased if you're a home umpire, and you actually end up giving more decisions to the visitors and less to the home side. And, of course, there will be English umpires standing in the three test matches. What I would say about the game, though, John, is that for all the artificiality, as long as the actual playing of the game isn't compromised, in other words, if all the players said to me, if the slips have to stand 2 metres apart and if we can't have a silly pointing because he's too close to the batsman, then they don't want to play. Shining the ball is... Yeah, the bowlers, the batsmen are very happy. But the bowlers reckon we should play with a Duke's ball because that swings a lot more than a kookaburra. But kookaburra have introduced or trying to introduce a wax applicator to take the place of saliva. By the way, it's never been proven that saliva actually works in making the ball swing. But that's a work in progress. At the moment, there's going to be no artificial substance. But I'm in favour of one being introduced and trialled, and I think that it will happen somewhere along the line.
Cricket writer Neil Manthorpe, thanks very much for talking to us this afternoon.